Welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast, where we talk to C-level leaders from across the payments landscape. We'll be discussing the products and services that impact the payment space today, as well as trends and predictions for the future of payments. We will also hear stories from our guests about their journeys to the top.
We looked at the data and we said, look, let's take a look at the small business DDA client base. And at a bank, over 92% of the merchants that they have don't have merchant services through that bank. So 92 out of 100 merchants are getting the most sticky product from another organization. And our data shows about half of them are getting them from fintechs. So what we said is, all right, there's a big opportunity here.
That was Craig Sobol, the co-founder and chief revenue officer of Xup, spelled X-U-P. And he is our special guest this week. This is episode 72 of the Leaders in Payments podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Myers. And hey, before we get started, if you happen to office in Houston, Austin, or North Texas, check out Fuse Workspace, where their mission is to help others do more. Check them out at fuseworkspace.com. Okay, back to the show. Craig grew up in New York and went to school in upstate New York and then moved to Charlotte, North Carolina when he took a job with Bank of America. He currently resides there with his wife and two sons. Xup was founded on the premise to help banks drive transactions up. So in the name X is for transactions and then up. Banks have typically outsourced merchant services to a third-party acquirer and keep merchant services at arm's length, even though merchant services is an incredibly sticky product. Banks need to deepen their relationship with their customers, but 92% of business customers at a bank get their merchant services from someone other than their own bank. So the founders at Xup saw an opportunity to build software that sits between the bank and their merchant processor. Their software includes five different modules, from top-of-the-funnel sales and marketing to onboarding to analytics. Craig has a passion for creating a tremendous user experience for his customers and personally loves to watch his son succeed in their endeavors. Craig also loves to play the piano. We've got a great episode ahead, so let's get started. Hi, Craig. Thank you for being here and welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast.
Thanks, Greg. Really excited to be here and appreciate you having us today.
Absolutely. So let's dive in. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, maybe where you grew up, where you went to school, where you currently live, maybe a few things like that.
Sure. This is my favorite subject. I love this one. I'm currently living in Charlotte, North Carolina with my wife and two boys and dog. I'm originally from New York, went to school in upstate New York. And for those that have ever heard of State University of New York at Geneseo, that's where I went, did my master's at Marymount University in the Washington, D.C. area, lived there for 13 years. And then my wife said, hey, we need to move south. Managed to get a job with Bank of America, and we moved down to Charlotte and been here ever since. All up and down the East Coast, but I'm a New Yorker by heart.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the company a little bit. The name of the company is Xup. It's X-U-P for those who are wondering. So tell us a little bit about the company and what it does.
I'll start with the name. So Xup really was founded with a premise of helping banks drive transactions up. So X stands for transactions and then up. So that's how we came up with it. And really, it's about helping banks fulfill their mission to help small business owners, commercial business owners, franchisees, any size business really grow their entity that they're after. And what we've seen in the market for banks is that they have typically outsourced one of the most crucial parts of a business's lifeline, and that's the merchant services payments component. Most banks today outsource that component to a third-party acquirer, whether it be Fiserv or Elavon or TSYS, and the banks are keeping that at arm's length. When we got into it, we noticed there's something opportunistic here. If you think about it, a merchant needs merchant services to collect from consumers. And yet it's one of the most sticky products a bank offers, but the customer experience is not contained or managed within their four walls. We dove into that a little bit and we said, well, why is that? And, you know, merchant services piece of payments world is fairly complex. There's a lot of variability to it. You got gateways, you've got different points of sale, you've got different software components. And so when we looked at it, we said there's a huge opportunity here for banks in deepening their relationships with their customers. we looked at the data and we said, look, let's take a look at the small business DDA client base. And at a bank, over 92% of the merchants that they have don't have merchant services through that bank. So 92 out of 100 merchants are getting the most sticky product from another organization. And our data shows about half of them are getting them from fintechs. So what we said is, all right, there's a big opportunity here. Being in the banking industry over 25 years, our teammates being in the industry for so many years, we decided to take a look at why. We discovered that there was a lack of technology, complexity in the ecosystem, and we said, let's form Zup and solve that for banks.
Are you doing the actual transactions, or is it more in between the bank and the processor?
Yeah, love that question, Greg. So we sit between the bank and the processor. We do not do the transaction piece of it. That stays with the acquirer. And the beauty of Zup is we don't require a bank to change their processing relationship with their chosen acquirer. In fact, we encourage them to stay there most of the time because that those processes work, the financials work, and the product sets are known. What we do is we bring the customer experience back into that bank through our platform. We offer digital in-branch or store capabilities. We offer over the phone and for the field team to easily onboard a client. In addition, we integrate with the bank's core banking platforms so a merchant doesn't have to log into four or five different online banking, in air quotes, systems. They can log into one and see their entire merchant and banking relationship all on the bank's website. So we look at that whole value chain of the consideration buying and servicing components for that merchant through our platform, sitting between the bank and the processor.
Okay. Are there other verticals beyond banking that you serve?
We do. We've started with the banking vertical per se. And what we've learned in doing, you know, these fintechs and startups over the course of our careers, you can't see it, but I do have a lot of gray hair and most of the hair on the top of my head isn't really there. Been here for a while. We found that focusing in what you know well is really the best strategy to build a company. And that's what we've done. So we're focusing on banking and we also are in healthcare. So the healthcare industry is one that we will call an emerging industry with its complexity. And that's where we'll start to get into our payment facilitation part of the conversation if we wanted to go there. And in the future, we do have plans to branch off into other verticals. But for now, if you're going to ask me, it's going to be banking because we're specifically built for banks. And healthcare, which is another highly regulated industry, is starting to show some promise for us.
So, Craig, you mentioned banks as a customer, and banks is kind of a broad term, could mean small banks with just a couple of branches, or could be community banks or financial institutions of different sizes. How do you define banks within your customer set?
So for us, banks in our customer set are going to be those banks that really serve a business-minded community. And sometimes you have business-only type banks, then you have consumer and business. But for us, the bank segment are those that have, whether they're small, mid-sized businesses, commercial clients, franchise clients, the ones that have some sort of commercial offering. The reason for that is because that's who's going to need merchant services to start. But the number of branches and the depth of their assets really just talks about the size of their opportunity to us. So we have models that support all size banks, and they're different depending on what the bank has already invested in, what they have, and where their strategy is taking them. But in the end, our software does support these banks because for the smallest of small banks, this gives the business bankers the ability to open up accounts directly for their merchants with their acquirer, and they contain that customer experience right there in that face-to-face contact, in that phone call contact, or even Zoom contact today. And that's important for a business banker. So that could be at the smallest banks and at the largest banks with their physical footprint of their branches or financial centers or stores. You have merchants walking in every day. Why would you want that merchant walking out not have applied for a merchant account? And we get the headwinds that all these different size banks face and their personnel face. They've got a lot of training. They've got a lot of different complexities they have to deal with. So what I would say there is we've simplified our experiences. We've simplified the product sets to make it culpable for a business banker, someone in the branch to help a merchant through their buying journey. So for us, the banks really are about those that support the merchants of all sizes, small, mid-sized, commercial, franchise, ISVs. And then how we implement our solution really would go with the size of the bank and the number of branches.
Hey, everyone. As you know, I've worked in the payment space for a long time. A lot has changed over the years, and we talk about those changes a good bit on the show. But some things in this industry never change. For example, attrition is always a concern, and so is your bottom line. And PCI non-compliance fees will always be a part of the industry, driving that bottom line, but also keeping us up at night, worrying about that attrition, especially when the inevitable PCI non-compliance fee hike is underway. That's why I'm excited to bring in company.com as a sponsor. Right when you're increasing fees, give your merchants something of value too. The company.com security suite is the perfect way to add value by offering a real-time security dashboard with antivirus, expert tech support, anti-phishing software, dark web scanning, and more. Company.com offers various product assortments and solutions that have proven to reduce merchant attrition for years now, and this new security suite that complements your current PCI program will be a game changer for you. Learn more at www.company.com or email securitysuite@company-corp.com. The link is also on our website. And now back to my interview with Craig Sobol, the co-founder and chief revenue officer of Zup. So what would you say differentiates you from other companies out there that are your competitors?
So from a competitive perspective, there's a few ways to look at this one. The first one is that we are specifically built for banks. So if you think about the fintech world, you've got fintechs that partner with banks and you have fintechs that compete with banks. We're squarely in the ones that partner with banks. And when we look at that environment, what that means to us is we know how to work in the regulatory space. We know what questions we're going to get from info security and third-party risk, how to communicate with a bank, how to retain data, how to protect it. We are PCI compliant. We are specifically built for banks in that space. And I like to say it's one of our core competencies. The other thing that we do is Zup was founded out of our consulting parent, Midtown Consulting Group, based in Atlanta. And we take a very consultative approach to all of our software implementations. And this is good for the banks because not only are we bringing a consulting mindset, meaning we're problem solving, we're bringing industry experience, we want our clients to be successful with our software. So that's just in our DNA. And I think a third thing is when you think about the nimbleness of working at a fintech, we complement a bank's capabilities because the banks have great talented technology teams, great talented business teams, and they're often overloaded with a lot of priorities. I mean, let's face it, especially today. I mean, PPP is just, you know, kind of reprioritized everything on every portfolio. I think what we differentiate with some of the larger banks and acquirer competitors is that we are super nimble. We are a banking as a service model, and we share in the growth with our clients because we're able to move quickly and achieve the business objectives.
Okay. And where do you see merchant services or the payments industry heading in, say, the next 2 to 3 years?
The future. This is probably one of the hardest. And I like to call this the weather person question because we could all think about the next probably 2 to 3 years. It's really beyond that that becomes a lot fuzzier. So, you know, when you do a weather forecast, you get into the 1 to 2 days, you're generally okay. But, you know, the long range is variable.
Right.
Let's look at the question from a business perspective. Large commercial clients are going to be re-energizing their sales efforts, especially in certain verticals like travel and restaurant and hospitality. They've got a big, big, long staircase to climb coming out of that. Whereas small businesses also are going to be either starting back up and reopening. I think what we're going to start to see is the acceleration of the contactless. We're going to start to see the acceleration of integrated payments or ISV market. And I say acceleration deliberately because it's not about starting. That's already started. I mean, just think about the focus of some of those in-restaurant, pay-at-the-table type of software and hardware vendors. That's an ISV market. So we are absolutely going to continue to see that accelerate. You know, I think we're going to start to see a lot more of the acceleration of the traditional. So everything we're reading and everything we're experiencing, we're seeing that uptick of integrated payments and we're seeing the uptick in contactless. Those two will continue. If I were to project beyond that, I think it's any person's game. I don't think it's one or another. I think we're going to get into things like crypto. We're going to get into things like how do you become a payment facilitator, monetize payments. All of that is going to continue to percolate over the next couple of years. But I think the priority is going to be on restarting the business environment as the new normal.
Sure, sure. So just to circle back to how this connects to what you do, from your perspective, these sort of ways to pay or methods of payment, say just, you know, you brought up contactless, that to you and your software doesn't really matter, right? You're not too worried about how the transactions are actually performed, right?
Well, there is a piece that is very, very relevant to us, and that is how we create interest for the bank. What that means is one of our modules, we look at that 92% I mentioned earlier, and we say, well, how do you get a merchant to, A, understand that the bank offers a competitive merchant service capability, and B, have them express interest, and C, convert? So that top of funnel part of across that whole journey is something that is near and dear to our hearts because the method of payment is very relevant to talking to that merchant and making it interesting to them. Merchants may hear and read, you have to go contactless, but they might not necessarily understand what that could mean for their business from a sales perspective. On the flip side, understanding how the method of payment does take shape does help with some of the analytical capabilities our platform looks at, because that is going to be primarily industry-based. It is going to shed light on consumer buying habits, which is very, very valuable to a bank. And now what you're starting to do is embark on the connection between the consumer and business world, which we see as something that banks are starting to realize that connection and will continue to invest in. By and large, Greg, you're right. From a transactional perspective, that's more up to the processor. But from a bank perspective, where Zup is very interested in that is filling that top of the funnel for the bank of those merchants.
Okay. You mentioned the sort of top of the funnel marketing to help convince a portfolio that they have the right merchant services solution. So kind of totally get that module. You talked about analytics. Sort of what are the other modules, if that's the right word, that the software provides?
Sure. We've got five modules today. The five modules are built for the banking world. And then there's one that I'll call out for the healthcare world as well. Five modules are what we call Zup Sales, which is filling that top of the funnel and the mid funnel. So that's going to be what we'll call the back book analysis. We also have a statement analysis capability and price optimization capability. So that's really bringing a merchant to consider the bank as a merchant processor and bringing them to applying. And that brings us to the second module of the onboarding module. And this is a direct, seamless digital connection between the merchant and the processor of choice, or the processor the bank uses, I should say. And we're integrated with a couple of them today, and we have more on our radar to integrate with. What that does is it brings an omni-channel experience. So the merchant can start in a branch and finish at home over digital. They can start in digital and maybe call their banker because they have a question. So we've created a very frictionless onboarding experience with a simplified merchant product set in order to onboard seamlessly. We also have that for commercial because those deals generally are a lot larger, and franchisees, which have a very different, unique set. So we support three different segments on that front. The third component is servicing, which is that seamless online banking experience. So in today's world, if a merchant wants to see all of their payment transactions and their banking experience, their bank accounts, they have to log into online banking. They have to log into the acquirer's servicing tool at Fiserv, Elavon, TSYS, whomever. They have to log into potentially a gateway. They have to pull all that information in, and maybe then they can start to see it. Our integration tool does have a dashboard that we would link off of a bank's online banking. So we would pull in all the merchant services transactions into one, giving that merchant a complete view of their banking and receivables over merchant services. Our transaction layer is number four, is our fourth component. And that one is more of our payment facilitation stack, which enables companies to become PayFac. And then our fifth one is our analytics capability, like I mentioned earlier, providing insights into a merchant portfolio, also spending, and we can marry that up to different banks' data as well. So five modules: sales, onboarding, servicing, transacting, and analytics, all API-based, all UI-based. They can go in independently or together. We built it how we've seen banks think about this capability in a very modular, cloud-based, API-based environment.
Sure, sure. And you said there's one for healthcare too.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Our onboarding tool is specifically geared for healthcare. The payer-provider-patient relationship is very complex in healthcare. So establishing relationships with providers is often extremely important to create a payment facilitator. So we do have an onboarding capability that worries about things like billing locations or servicing locations. It does worry about KYC, AML, HIPAA compliance. We specifically built that one out as well.
Okay, okay. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about you. So tell us about your journey to your role there as a co-founder and the chief revenue officer.
Sure. It's like every journey. I woke up when I was 8 years old and said, God, I really want to be in payments. No, I'm kidding. I wish that to be the case. Yeah, my journey is probably like many, many folks out there. You know, you were presented with an opportunity and it sounded interesting and you took it. So I started out my career as an accounting major. I could have been an accountant and decided my personality wasn't that way. So I went into consulting, learned technology through that. Although my teammates will tell me I'm never allowed to code, and that's rightfully so. I'm allowed to code in PowerPoint. That's what I code in. And, you know, I grew up as a consultant and did a couple startups in consulting right around the dot-com era. And this was back in the 90s. Then in mid-2000s, like I mentioned earlier, I had the opportunity to join Bank of America, and working for a great company like that was an amazing journey, working in both the commercial space and the digital space. And then I got the entrepreneurial bug back in 2016, had the opportunity to re-enter the consulting market, joined Midtown Consulting Group back in 16. And then that's where we really started to find our niche in the merchant payment, because we were marrying up the whole, you know, experiences that many of us brought to the table of commercial banking and digital. And I am super passionate. For those that know me, you know I'm super passionate about the customer experience across every channel. So when we had that opportunity to bring both that channel passion with merchant capabilities and payments, we chose our customer to be the banks that serve merchants. And we went after that with gusto and founded Zup. I'll say behind the scenes in 2017, where we started to invest our consulting profits into building our platform. And then we came to market about 3 weeks before COVID hit last year.
Great timing.
Yes, it was perfect timing. And yeah, and it's been an amazing journey so far. Met some really great, talented, smart people. And we're super proud of our product set because it's adding value to clients today.
And you mentioned something that you're passionate about on the business side, obviously the customer experience. So on a personal side, do you have a certain passion on that side?
Yeah, I would say my two passions, and I'm smiling as I say this. The first one is a little kitschy, but you know, my kids are growing up, they're in their teens, and I love watching them love what they do. My older son plays a trombone, love listening to him play and seeing him excel in his craft. And my younger one is 15 and he's a baseball pitcher and loves to pitch. So that's my first passion, is watching them do what they love to do. And the second, and personally, I'm a musician. I play the piano, I've played my whole life. So whenever I have a free moment away from my laptop, which is few and far between these days for some reason, you'll find me behind the keyboard.
Okay, that's great. I asked this question and it's interesting the different answers you get, but you kind of alluded to this. I started in payments, you know, going on 16 years ago and wasn't seeking payments as a field to go into or a career path, sort of fell into it. But I think now it's seen a lot differently, especially when you add fintech into the mix. There's so much money that's being invested. There are college courses that teach people about fintech and payments. So it's just so different now. So what would your advice be to someone who's coming right out of college? They're looking at the payments industry. What kind of advice would you give them to be successful in our industry?
Dive in with both feet. I think payments is getting its limelight. Without a doubt, it's finally coming to the forefront, at least in our space. Banks of every size are now stepping up and saying, yes, this is important to my merchant clients, commercial, mid-size, small businesses, and they see the value of it. They don't want to keep it at arm's length. But taking that up a level, payments is a big pool. You can go in a million directions. So to say, you know, I love the fact that you know, when you listen to not only your podcast, Greg, but others, you get into the, when you say payments, you're not quite sure what you're going to be listening to or learning about. You could be learning about real-time payments or even the traditional like ACH or lockbox. Everything you learn in any slice of payments will be applied to all the other slices of payments, no matter what you do. So I think learning, getting an opportunity in some aspect of paying someone is important. Even if it's your traditional account payable, account receivable, cash, I mean, all that stuff is not going away. With that 10-year mark, who knows if that's going to go away, but it's important. The second thing I would say to someone starting off is network. Take advantage of podcasts like this. Take advantage of local community fintech activities. Like in Charlotte, we have FinSiders, we have PayCLT, we have the Carolina FinTech Hub, Atlanta's got it. I mean, any city that's out there, I'm sure there's a FinTech community. And even now that we've proven that virtual works, seek out other cities' networking opportunities virtually because they're out there. Learn from experts, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to network and share what we've learned. Don't just say you'll do it another day as you see a podcast or webinar or something. Take advantage of it and network. You'll find some people are going to be super open to it and other people aren't, but it's the ones that are super open to it that'll provide the value.
Absolutely. Well, Craig, we've covered a lot of ground about you and your background and about the company and the industry. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
This is a fun time to be in payments, Greg. As you know, I'm super proud of the team that we're building with Zup. I love the client relationships that we have. I'd ask, you know, if folks are out, you know, as you're out there, please follow us on LinkedIn. Visit us at zuppay.com with two P's. You know, drop us a line too. We'd love to hear from you and network. We're having fun and we'd love to be a part of the fintech community and the payments community especially. Really appreciate you having us, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show. I know your time's very valuable, so I really appreciate you being here.
Same. Really appreciate it. And thanks to all the listeners listening in.
Yes. And to all you other listeners out there, I thank you for your time as well. And until the next story.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Leaders in Payments podcast. Make sure you visit our website at leadersinpayments.com, where you can subscribe to the show and where you'll find our show notes. If you enjoyed listening, please share on your social channels as well.